I heard, I'm about to get a microphone or something. Do I have a microphone here? I'll stand right here. Now, I do need to tell you again, the title indicates some expertise in the area of investment. Well, you would know if you looked at my bank account, that is not me. But what I am going to tell you is that you can be an expert if you work really hard at it in a number of ways. You can be an expert in terms of money if you want to be an expert in terms of money. In fact, about the best thing I know, that if you spend more money than you make, you're not going to do very well here. And there are a lot of people in America who are living life like that. They spend more money than they make. And so they don't have a very good opportunity to do what needs to be done economically. As I thought about Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, really what God has done for us in what we call the parable of the talents is to teach us about investment. How do you go about investing in such a way that things work well for you? So I started looking at some investment information, and I've decided to share a little bit, not of my expertise, but of someone else's expertise. And if you take a look, there are lots of problems in the world of economics. Some of those problems may be yours, but when people who look at economic investments, they see that one of the real problems is that many of us place way too much emphasis on recent events, and we don't pay attention to the long-term realities. So some of you are down in the dumps now because of the way the stock market has looked for some months or some years. I don't really know exactly what I'm talking about there, but I don't think things are going up and up and up right now. And so some of you are paying so much attention right now to what loss you see in your portfolio that you are bent out of shape and you are thinking, I'll never be able to retire. The government is going to waste my Social Security and things are just going to the dogs financially and I don't have a chance when I grow old. I'm not sure I'll ever have the opportunity to grow old, but if I do, I'll find out about those things. But we worry about what is going on right now so much, it's hard for us to take a broad look and see how things really are. Well, the solution, these authors say, is that even in the midst of a market downturn, are we there? Has it turned down a little bit? Yeah, I think that's fair to say. In the midst of a market downturn, remember that stocks have rewarded investors over time. Can't just think about today, they say. That's what anybody investing money right now for you wants you to know, because things aren't looking so rosy today. So quit looking and placing so much emphasis on today and back off and take a long-term look, they want to say. And it says the stock market has a reassuring history of recoveries. After hitting lows in August 1939 and September 1974, the Standard & Poor's 500 composite index bounced back strong, averaging returns of more than 15% over the next 10 rolling 10-year periods. That is, you just keep sliding those 10-year periods, and things have worked over a 10-year period, this note says. So if you are uptight about your portfolio, this group is telling you, hang on, better times are coming. Well, long-term investors have been rewarded, they say. And when you start thinking about these downturns, here is the bottom line. A long-term perspective can help you prevail through challenging times. Worried about your money? Some of you aren't doing this, but inside you're going, you're really uptight about the way things are. Now, this information was provided by American Funds Capital Group. And to tell you the truth, I have no idea if it's super sound financial information or not. Just on the surface, it seems to be somewhat sound. And they're quoting some statistics that some of you financial gurus have already checked, probably, but if you haven't, you probably will. Now, I'm not interested in this tonight. Just not interested in this. But I want to share those principles with you to begin thinking about God giving you something to invest. That's what this parable is all about. It's about the investment that you are willing to make with the Lord. If you read the first story in Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins, the principle of that story, the main principle of that story, is you better be ready. You don't know when the bridegroom is going to come. You young folks over here think you're going to look like me one day. Well, you won't be quite that good looking, but you'll be that old. You think you're going to look like me. Don't know it. Probably you have had a classmate that hasn't made it to whatever grade you are in. If it hasn't been at your school, it's been at a lot of schools across our country. We do not know when the Lord's going to return. And so we need to pay attention. You watch, Jesus says. And then he turns to this story that I want you to think about for a few minutes. When he tells us that he gave the Lord, gave one man 5 talents, another man 2 talents, another man 1 talent, and he went off on a long journey. And after a long period of time, he comes home and there is a reckoning of what these folks have done with what he gave them to invest. Great day. There's a great day coming. Have you ever heard that? I've sung that once or twice in my life. There's a great day coming. Just like the Lord in this story wanted to know, what have you done? This story tells us that we will have an accounting one day. And that accounting is going to be about what you have done with what God gave you to invest. And when you look at the bottom line of this story, it is not so necessarily about being ready. It's about what Billy talked about this morning, that God will not forget. God will not forget your work and your service. There's going to be an accounting. That's what this story is about. It is saying to us, hey, the Lord was here. He gave you in your life some things that you can invest, and he will return. And so we should not tonight be thinking about the financial investments that we may have or may not have. What we want to do is to think about what God has done for us. So what can we learn from this great story that we've read over and over and over again? Well, as I think about investments, the first thing is that all professing Christians have received something from God to invest. Boy, when I look at this audience, I am looking at a multi-talented group of people. Some of you can do so many different things. Your talents are in about any direction. Some of us are far less talented. There are folks in this room that have money. There are folks in this room that don't have very much money. There are folks in this room that have unlimited intellectual ability, it seems, and there are others of us that are very limited. We don't have what you have. Some of you are really good-looking people. And if you're sitting there saying, yeah, I am kind of good-looking, I'm not talking to you. Some of you are really good-looking people. Some of us are not so blessed and so fortunate to be as good-looking as others. Some of you are in great physical condition tonight. There are some folks in this room not so blessed tonight. Some of you have great jobs. There are others wishing they had a great job. And I'm talking about people in this room. When we start thinking about what we have, what God has given to us, we all have talents. In this case, it was probably a sum of money in the story. But we have come to see that this talent that is being spoken about here can be representative of all that God has given to us. God has given to every one of us something. Anything that you possess or can possess is something that you can use to glorify God. There will be an accounting. So, we look at our influence, our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of the Lord's body, our advantages as possessors of the truth in terms of having the Bible in our hands. We have it. They are all things that God has granted to you tonight and blessed you with to some degree. When we begin to think about what we have, you look at this list and there are many other things. God has granted you great things. What about investing them? And in this story, it's not about getting on the phone and calling the American funds or any other financial advisor and saying, I want you to manage my portfolio. God is requiring you to manage your portfolio. He's expecting you to be what He needs you to be and use what He's giving you. He's not going to come back and say, okay, what did your coach tell you to do? And did you do it? What did your advisor or your preacher or your elder or your parent or anybody else tell you what to do? And did you do it? He's going to be looking Roy Sharp square in the face. And he's going to want an accounting of me and what I did. What service did I render to God? What work did I do for God? What service did I do for my fellow man? What work did I do for my fellow man? I've received some gifts. God is expecting and even will require me to invest that. One of the sad things in life, we see it all around us. There are some folks that make bad use of what God has given to them. Have you ever heard anybody say, boy, I just haven't learned enough yet to be able to teach someone? Or I could never talk to somebody about their soul. I could never stand in front of a group and teach a class. Have you heard people say those kinds of things? And we could go on and on and on and make a list of what people say. That same person that says, I could never talk to anyone about their soul, can sit at some intellectual establishment like Jack's or Bill's or somewhere else, and they can tell you everything you want to know about every football game that's going to be played, and after it's played, they can tell you everything about it, and they will control the conversation about what's going on in the political conventions, and they can tell you how wrong things are in town and out of town. They can do that, and they can lead, and they can communicate, but they cannot communicate to someone about their soul. Does that make really any serious sense to you? Some people just do not use what God has given them. In the book of Malachi, in chapter 3, God accuses Israel through the prophet of robbing him. They said, come on, where have we robbed you? How in this world can you look at what I've done and say that I have robbed you? They went to the place of worship. They offered some sacrifice. I've been there. I've been to church. I gave. How can you say I have robbed you? When we begin to look at what they were doing, they were killing people to get their land. They were taking things from widows and orphans that should not have been taken to increase their own wealth. Sure, they would go to worship. Sure, they would sacrifice, but their daily lives offered very little to God. God had given them much, and they failed. And God says, you have robbed me. And so when Roy Sharp fails to use what God has given him, though it may not be very much, I may be able to say, honestly, I don't have as much intellectual ability as that person, or I can't speak as well as that one, or I can't do like that person can. All of that may be true, but God has given me something. And God only expects of me from what he gave. He will not demand of me a 5-talent investment if I only have 1 talent. But I'm telling you this passage makes it clear, God is going to demand of us what he's given to us. You remember the story of Daniel and Belshazzar and how prideful Belshazzar became and how he wanted really even to be thought of as a god. When we fail to invest what God has given us, the words that God sent to Belshazzar through Daniel will apply to us. Belshazzar was told, the God who holds your breath in his hand, he owns all of your ways, and you haven't glorified him. You haven't used what you have to be who you need to be. What a sad day when we begin to think about what God has done for us, given to us, if we look at ourselves and we are like the 1-talent man. It will be a sad day. There's going to be a reckoning with God. How do you feel about that? You think you want to stand before God? You see, God's judgment is not just to body slam people who have done things wrong. God's judgment is going to be to glorify and permit professing Christians who wisely invest to share with him in his glory, to be with him forever. There's a great day coming where we can win, where our investment portfolio can be opened and show untold riches, regardless of what God has given to you. We're going to receive an abundant reward in that great day, either positively or negatively. When you take a look at the 1-talent man, it is very clear. He didn't invest. He took and buried it in the ground. And when he came back, he was standing there like little Jack Horner, stuck his thumb in a pie and pulled out his plum and said, what a good boy am I. Here's your talent back. Unused. I didn't lose a thing. I'm giving it all back to you. God expects more. God demands more. He made a very poor choice because he took that talent and buried it. What does that say? He had some challenges. Just like you and I have challenges, he had a challenge of willful neglect. That means he chose what he did. Nobody encouraged him. Nobody forced him. He dug the hole. He put the talent in the ground and he buried it. And he neglected to do anything with it. It was willful, his choice, his will, to neglect what the Lord had given him to invest. He had some hard thoughts about the Lord. You know, life is just not fair, is it? There are some difficulties that people in this room are facing that there is nothing you could have done to avoid those difficulties. You're there. It just happened. The world is full of circumstances that we do not control, and they are not all good. You may have been the hardest working person in your company, and you may be sitting here having lost your job. You had no control over that. Where is God? What is happening? And if we aren't careful, we'll develop some really hard feelings about the Lord. Why are you not blessing me? And we cannot see what God is doing. Oh, it's easy for me to look at the Apostle Paul as we read about his life, and we like to talk about the thorn in the flesh, and we love saying, boy, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. We love that. We see it in Paul. What a great blessing. God is giving him a greater opportunity of service by not removing the thorn in the flesh. Paul prayed three times diligently for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. God said, no. The best thing for you is this. We don't know what is going on in the way that God does, but we know that there are people who go through circumstances in life and blame God. Hard thoughts against God. Here, this one talented man said, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were going to sow where you didn't reap, and you were going to be hard to please and hard to deal with, so I buried the talent so I wouldn't lose it, and I would give it back to you. Now, most of those are my words, not the one talent man's words, but it's the idea. And so he had some hard thoughts about the Lord. He had a slavish fear. I was afraid. That's one of the main reasons I hid your talent, Lord. I was afraid. I watched other people grow in their investments, but I couldn't see myself accomplishing anything. I couldn't see myself doing what I thought was going to be successful. And I was so afraid, I became a slave to my fear. And instead of trying, I buried my talent. So my slavish fear kept me from doing that. Slothfulness, just laziness. He didn't have to do anything. Once his talent was buried, he's through. He just coasts. He may be like Israel. He might go to the church building. He might worship. He might give. He might do a few good things. But that's what he's choosing to do. He doesn't have to do anything. He's just slothful. Because, you see, he's buried his talent. He's not going to be what he should be or do what he should do. And so he goes on through life, living life the way he chooses, not the way the Lord chooses. That's just wrong. What he did was wrong. We don't even know all the reasons that it was wrong. You wicked and slothful servant. I gave you something to invest, and because of whatever reason you want to say, you buried it in the ground and didn't do anything. We're talking about not just a lazy person, we're talking about a wicked person. And as we think about that, here's his reward. Take the one talent from him who had it and give it to the one who worked hard and who invested. What an unbelievable problem he had. And then, even worse, cast the unprofitable servant, unprofitable, not worth anything, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our culture hates those phrases like that. They hate to face the fact that if we are described by God as the one talent man was described by God, We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear what we really are if we are not using the ability that God gave us. But you see, when we start thinking about that reckoning, here's what we really want. And God tells us this clearly. But you can't just preach this. You have to let other people know the responsibility that they have. And if they buried their talent, what the result is going to be. Here's the result of real reward from people who invest spiritually those things that God has given to them. There are three things mentioned here. One is a commendation. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to stand before God with everybody that has ever lived in this life, hear God say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You did a good job. You've been faithful. Enter into the joys of the Lord." We can't imagine. There's not a person in here with a great enough imagination to be able to know all that that phrase means, the joys of the Lord. What a tremendous blessing that will be. What if you woke up in the morning? Those of you that have financial problems, you didn't have any. Those of you that have relationship problems, you wake up in the morning and you don't have any. There's none in your family. There's none in your life. What about those of you that have physical illnesses and you wake up in the morning and you have no physical illness, totally, perfectly healthy? How would life seem to you? You say, we can't imagine that really in the most serious way because we have all of those things going on all around us. The joys of the Lord is going to include excluding all of that. So you have a great entrance into a relationship with God that's almost impossible to imagine. But then not just a commendation of well done, but here is the exaltation. You have been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Because if you are faithful in a little bit, you will be faithful in a lot. If God gives you only a little to invest, oh, you're going to be rewarded. He's going to take that little bit that you've invested and He's going to hand back to you much. You can't feature what God will do for you. What a great blessing. What a great gift of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. To hear that commendation, to hear that exaltation, and then to think of this joint sharing. That's what communion is all about. This joint sharing with the Lord. Enter into the joys of the Lord. What a great, great relationship. I'm not an expert on hardly anything. But I am sharp enough to see what God says about being lazy or strong-willed or wicked and not investing what God has given us. I can see that. But I can also see the great promises that God makes. The commendation, the exaltation, the communion, I can see that. And all of us will face one of those or the other. What do you want? It's your will to choose God's will. You have the opportunity to do that. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you? If you have, you're investing what God gave you into the work and service of the Lord, which means the work and service of your fellow man. If you've decided to follow Jesus and you are certain of what you need to do, you studied and you know you need to repent of your sins and be baptized, or you've studied and you know that as a child of God, you need to turn back to the Lord and pray that your heart can be turned into a right kind of heart because of your repentance and God's grace and mercy. if you know you ought to do that, we want you to do that. Invest in the Lord. If you have a need, come as we stand and as we sing.